Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, and welcome back to the after show for Home Before Dark on Apple Plus. We are coming back for a second time in the same day, discussing episodes 6 and 7. As always, there's so much to talk about, so I'm happy to be here. I'm Latoya Blakely, your host, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host. We have Kelsey Myers, who is a Washington native and a true crime fanatic.
Dang right. Happy to be here.
And then we also have Chantel Del Aguila, who is an investigative journalism pro.
Hello. Hello. Okay, I'm not going to lie. Tears tonight. So you can add crier to my list.
No, oh, I cried the last episodes. I like streamed. Oh yeah.
I haven't cried yet. I was close at the end of episode 7, but I haven't cried yet. Yeah. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the investigation into Richie's murder being reopened. We have missing parties. That's right. More than one. And then we also have Battle of the Sexes, which I'm excited to talk about that.
Me too. Yes.
Chantel will be bringing us news and gossip. Kelsey will be bringing us our special segment, predictions. You don't want to miss it, so stay tuned. Before we dive into our specific topics, guys, tell me your overall opinions of this, well, these two episodes.
It's just getting better and better.
I know.
So good. It's so good. I was mad at Hildy for a minute in episode 7, but then you can't be mad at her. I wasn't mad. I was more just like, ah, gosh. But it's like I said, it's just getting better and better and better. And Apple TV does a great job. And I love this show. It's my new favorite right now. So.
Oh, yeah. This show has me on the edge of my seat. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am like clenching at like what's going to happen next. I bit my nails off because I'm like, oh my God. Like such an intense scene when they're searching for Sam and Hildy. Oh my gosh. I mean, that's obviously episode 7. We'll talk about that, but a whole lot going on. It just keeps getting better and better.
Mm-hmm. It does. And I was a little disappointed in Hildy, but I was upset with Sam. I was like, Frank has finally put his neck out on the line. He's trying to do something right, and you're just jeopardizing all of it. So I was quite upset with Sam.
I know.
But that takes us into the investigation gets reopened. You know, we've seen that a lot of people actually really believe in Sam's innocence. And the list is growing, right? So we start with Maddie and Hildy, and then we find out that Frank thinks he's innocent, and Kim thinks he's innocent, and Sylvester thinks he's innocent. And so the beginning of episode 6 starts with Hildy conducting her own investigation into the case, going back, talking to witnesses, listening to these cassette tapes, but also Frank Jr. is kind of doing his own investigation. What did you all think about that? What did you think about Hildy's investigation, Fernando, the psychic?
Oh my gosh.
Frank's investigation, and kind of Frank and Sam reliving the night of the kidnapping.
I loved how they shot that. Loved how they shot that, especially the scene where they're sitting in the arcade. What is it? Where it's like,
yes,
Frank and Sam are sitting. I was just like, ooh, this is so good. It's so raw. It just puts you right in that moment, and you feel for Sam. You feel so badly. And he even mentions later on, he was like, I was just in all the wrong places at all the wrong times. And you're like, ah, but then it's cool. It's, you've seen Frank go from this like kind of crappy guy who we didn't like to actually having some real feelings. And yeah, that part got me. I really, really liked how they did that.
Kelsey, just jumping in real quick to what you said about Sam saying that he was in all the wrong places, but he really wasn't. He was teenager living his life. He was at work. He was hanging out in his car by himself. He was at home.
And that's what's the bummer. I know.
Yeah.
I know. And it makes your heart hurt, because even Frank kind of kept pushing, like, well, why were you so close to them? Why were you friends with Richie? He's like, because he needed an older brother. He was like, he was just being a good guy. He's just a sweet, sweet guy. And you see that kind of unfold, and you learn a lot more about Sam, which I loved.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely felt like they were pulling back the layers of Frank and Sam in this episode. Look, Ellie wants to be a part of it as well.
Hey, girl.
I do love the scene where they flash back and they go back to, you know, Frank tells Sam, like, tell me what happened that day. Tell me what happened that night. Mm. You know, take me back. Take me back with you, because I wish, he even says, he goes, I wish we could go back in time, you know, and change so many things. In that investigation, it really, we're able to see a different side from what Hildy has been pulling apart. We get Sam's side of the story, and his like family dynamic. We learn a little bit more about, you know, Sam and even his dad. He mentions his dad. We didn't know a whole lot about that before. And then he definitely starts to delve into it more in the next episode. But great, great scene. Like I said, it's just a different perspective as far as the investigation from Hildy's point of view to here now is the convicted killer. And hit, you know, his story. So it was really nice to see that. And it was, I think they did a great, great job the way that they shot it. I love it. I love the depiction and the color schemes. And overall, I enjoyed it. I really did. And it painted a picture for me.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before. The writers do a really good job of telling parallel stories.
Yeah.
So you feel like you get to be in all of these characters' worlds at the same time. And you see what's happening to them in different locations, but kind of in the same time frame as the other characters. And so when Hildy is conducting her investigation, Frank and Sam, they're having their experience at the same time. You just get to see like the different point of views. What did you all think about Fernando? Did either of you think that at any point he was legitimate, or did you always?
I had a split second. I did. For a split second, I was like, okay, come on, Maddie. Like, just go through with it. Answer his questions or, like, believe him for a second. But then, yeah, I mean, you're so fast to turn. And you're like, okay, you're full of it. Especially when he has, like, his jacket locked in the box and he wouldn't have turned that into the throw. It was weird. It was so weird.
I call his BS from the very beginning. I was like, get out of here. You're looking for your 15 seconds of fame. Like, how, first of all, how disrespectful are you? Yeah. You were trying to like bank on a child's, you know, disappearance. I hate to say murder, because I'm like, hey, we haven't found the body. You know, we don't know where the body is or anything. For all we know, Richie could still be alive. We don't know.
I agree with you. I think
so. So, you know, I don't like Fernando the psychic. I think he needs to find something better to do with his time, and I'm glad. I was like, you know what, go Hildy for stealing that jacket. That good for great. You yeah,
she was very quick.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
that steal she yeah. grabbed it. And I'm thinking back, because episode 6 and 7 were really about the reopening of this investigation, but we haven't really gotten any closer to solving this case. I mean, there's been a lot of mention of the man with the center tattoo, which it seems as though Sam actually does know who that is.
And I feel like he's the only one who does. At least that's what it seems like.
I don't know. I think when Hildy had asked Matt, you know,
her
about,
dad.
He kind of, you know, he kind of paused for a minute and was like, maybe he was thinking about it, or maybe he doesn't know, but I don't know. Like, I think there might be more people than just
Sam. Because you're right, he paused and brushed it off a little bit.
I agree with that. So the center tattoo, and then there's the mention of the bruises on Richie, and
right,
Sam seems to think that maybe, well, Sam thinks a lot, and I think that's so interesting, because Sam's perspective of Richie seems to be only his perspective. Everyone else seems to have missed that. But Sam, you know, told Frank that to me, there was just something sad about him. He mm-hmm. looks like he mm-hmm. the friend, and then he talks mm-hmm. about the bruises. So that brings in another element, you know, of Absolutely. Richie's story that I hopefully will get answers to sooner rather mm-hmm. than later.
Right.
I just want to take a moment to thank our fans, our viewers for watching. We could not do this without you. We love being here. We love watching these shows and having the opportunity to discuss them together. Please rate us, leave us 5 stars, leave us thumbs up, leave us comments if you want to read them and respond to you. And just thank you so much for being a part of this AfterBuzz family and this AfterBuzz show.
Thank you.
Moving thank right you. Along, we have 2 people go missing. Sam seizes his opportunity and runs for it. Yep. And then Hildy goes missing after the dance. Ladies, tell me what you thought when handcuffs Sam to, I'm not even sure what he handcuffed him to. What did you all think of that?
Or something?
I think so. Oh, I was like, really? Frank is not really good at thinking on his toes. Sorry.
For real.
Sorry.
For real.
We should have thought about being a cop. But Sam, okay, yeah, got handcuffed. I believe they're in the Gillis home, Penny's yeah. home, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I thought. And then he escapes. First of all, Hildy, I mean, that girl is, I don't know where she gets this strength and like to be able to just feel like she's invincible. She runs away from the dance. And she's out on a road. It's dark. It's desolate. Like, it's spooky. I would never be caught on a road like that. And then she goes and hears chains dangling from across the way. Like, I would have hit the ground running. I would have been like, see ya, and out of yeah. there. But of course, yeah. her being the investigative journalist that she is, she needs to know what that is, where that sound's coming from. And of course she stumbles upon Sam, and this is her moment. Cause if you remember from the prior episodes, she didn't get to interview Sam
mm-hmm.
and she mm-hmm. had so many questions to ask him. So, you know, she finds him and this is her opportunity. I mean, yeah, maybe the circumstances aren't that great. They're out in the dark in the woods and he's shackled and she's.
And there's a whole search investigation.
There's a search investigation that ends up happening. But you know, she's like, I'm determined and I need to hear Sam's story. You know, I need to know what Sam knows, what he believes, and most importantly, where are you going? So, you know, a whole lot happens. Even though it was really dark, you couldn't see a whole lot. There's a lot of information that you find out. We do find out, like, she asks, who's this man with the center tattoo? And I'm so like, oh, I want to know so bad.
I know.
Like, who are you? I don't know. Drives me crazy because I'm like I said, I'm sitting at the edge of my seats and I'm like, I need to know. I need to watch the next episodes.
I have to find out.
Again, a whole lot going on in that forest too, because then you have Frank Jr. and you've got Matt and Bridget and Kim and Kim's mom, Carol. I didn't make that connection until this episode. I was like, oh, wait, isn't that the lady in the library? But that's her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And they all just kind of gather. And Trip even gets involved. Mm-hmm. I love her, by the way. She's like my heroine too. Go Trip. But they all get together and they're like, we've got to search for Hildy. But you see these different dynamics. And I noticed you see a change in Matt's behavior. And Matt and Bridget kind of play different roles in this search for Hildy and Sam. Bridget is more like, I know that she's safe. I know that she's with Sam. And she's out there. She's doing her job. Hildy, she's doing her job. Mm-hmm. And Matt's just like, forget this case. Forget what's going on. We need to make sure our daughter's safe. So you see a change in roles. And they're in their perspective as parents, which I thought was really interesting. So.
Yeah, no, I know.
Sad. It was a lot. It was a lot.
It was a lot. For me, a little bit, I mean, I don't think it was intentional, but when Frank cuffed Sam to that bookshelf or whatever it was like, okay, someone could obviously break off of that, right? It was a thin little post. So, somewhere in the back of my mind, I almost felt like it was slightly intentional. I was like, ooh, did he do that? Like, on purpose, because even when he kind of looks like looks at him and goes like, yeah, I believe you, but I still don't like trust you, but it's like, okay, but like hint, break the thing and get out of here. I don't know. So I'm like, maybe, I'm not sure. But then he gets away. Yeah. And you're just like, dang it. And like you said, it was like so much happens after that. Then it just escalates, yeah. And like crap, it's the fan. And you're like, oh my God. And then I said this at the beginning, but I was a little peeved at Hildy. I know she was doing her job. I'm like, Hildy girl, of course your parents are freaking the heck out. And then the scene with Syl undoing the handcuffs. And
oh, like, I love that scene.
Oh my God, the best. And she's like, tell Izzy I'm fine. I'm like, of course Izzy's not gonna believe him. Not gonna believe it. And like, oh my God.
But I think he's crazy.
To me, right? That to me was such a beautiful scene, because Syl is clearly happy to see Sam, like has no bad blood against him. And even in his like sort of like deranged mind, you're like, Sam's a good guy. Like Sam is 100% a good guy. Like I love Syl. That I just loved that scene. And then when you go into the forest, and the other scene I loved was when Sam saves her, when Hildy gets her foot stuck.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, go. And he's like, oh, heck no. And like saves her. So there was a lot of good moments. I don't know. I still kind of think Frank did it on purpose a little bit, but
I don't know. That puts his job in jeopardy. I don't know. And he's kind of, I mean, although he's like breaking away from his dad, I still think he's terrified of him. Like his dad can do a lot. His dad still has a lot of power over him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Frank.
When Syl walked into the shed and saw Hildy and Sam, it was interesting because it's kind of like he was living in two worlds. He was living in the past world as well as the present at the same time. Mm-hmm. But it also answered the question of whether or not he thought Sam did it. Because even then,
right, that's what I'm saying.
Says, right? Like, Richie's missing. I think it's the man with the center tattoo.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he goes into cutting off the shackles, the handcuffs, and is really present with Hildy and Izzy and saying, you know, Hildy gave me a message to tell you, and she said
that was wild.
But I was like, Izzy should see the handcuffs on the ground and like know that they've been there.
I was gonna say tunnel vision. You just, you know, you see Papa, you're like, what are you doing in here?
Yeah.
Hildy's missing. She's crying. She's emotional.
Yeah.
She thinks it's her fault.
Exactly.
But going back to the Gillis house, when the sheriff is outside, I had so many like thoughts so quickly. I was like, is he going to take Sam outside with him? Is he going to just leave him in the house? Is he going to handcuff him? And then when he handcuffed him, I was like, Sam, don't run. Sam, don't run. Please don't run. And then I was like, Sam's not
going
to run.
You knew he was going to.
Better than that. And then he ran. And I was like, really, Sam? Like, they're working
really
so hard to help you. And that's
I know.
I think Sam is just so, he's at the point where he even says it. He says it with Bridget, you know, when he's in the jail cell and stuff like that, or in the, you know, the prison or whatever. He's so discouraged and he's just given up all hope. Like, there's no way that he's ever going to get out. There's no way that anyone's ever going to believe him. His family, they have a bad reputation. No one in the town likes him. You know, this is his last opportunity, and if he's able to take the chance, why not run with it? And that's exactly what he does. He runs, he books it out of that house and takes off. And
I think he did have hope, but as Frank Jr. pointed out, and then later Sam confirmed hearing Sheriff be like, no matter what you show me, he'll never get out. And so
basically, I won't let him out,
right? Basically, he said, I don't care if you prove to me he's innocent, i.e., I already know he's innocent. Nothing's going to get him out. And so I do think that was Sam's pivotal moment of like, they're never going to let me out. Nothing matters.
Because Sheriff wouldn't have said that, Sam would have stayed put, you know?
Yeah.
Sam would have been like, I know Frank's putting his neck on the line for me right now, but then he heard that and he was like, bye.
It's also interesting to see how people's positions changed when information that Sam was missing and Hildy was also missing. The way some people, including Matt, kind of flipped. Like, I thought he was
so fast
this time. Right. But now that my daughter's missing, this can't be a coincidence.
Maybe exactly, exactly. And that's where, like I had mentioned earlier, you see those roles switch between Matt and Bridget.
Yep.
Because, you know, here's Bridget. She knows she's not from this town. She doesn't know about this past. She doesn't know Sam besides, you know, what she's heard from him and, you know, the conversations they've had. And, you know, Matt being the person that was the only person who believes Sam could never do anything, would never hurt a child. Now that Hildy's missing, it's flipped.
Breaking, yeah.
You know, you have Matt who's like, nope, there is a possibility. Maybe Sam did do something with children. Mm-hmm. We don't know. And Bridget's just like, no, he's innocent. He's good. He would never harm her. I think that's a pivotal moment for her too, because she's realizing,
absolutely,
you know, I thought my husband was this other person and he's not. And the dynamic in the family, you could see the roles changing within this episode.
Well, I also think that because Bridget is an outsider in terms of this is not a personal situation for her, she can look at it through an objective lens versus coming in with all of the biases and feelings and history of everything that's happened.
Very true.
With Richie and in the town.
Very true.
And she tells him that.
I was going to say, she mentions that. Yeah. Yeah. That, you know what else is interesting too? I think that they kind of parallel nicely with Kim and her mom kind of having that little scene, because Kim says the same thing to her mom. She's like, mom, Sam's a good guy. He would, like, he's with Hildy. Yeah. She's fine, sort of thing. And her mom's like, well, Kim, and then Kim starts crying and you see that like vulnerable side of her, and her mom's like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. But that kind of like hit my heart, that moment between the two of them.
This is like off topic, but it made me think about it when you said Kim. Who saw Kim and Frank together?
I know.
Okay. I was going to mention that. What the heck?
I know. Are they dating? Are they hooking up? What's happening?
So my theory is that Frank is, you know, she's with Frank to help her get over Matt. She's not over Matt.
Oh, for sure.
But how long did Matt and Bridget even, not Bridget, Matt and Kim even date? Like, all the
2 years in middle school.
long enough to feel like he was your soulmate, I guess. I mean, because you look at the scene where they're in they're at the dance. Yeah, and she looks over at him and she brings back the memory of her and Matt dancing. And then it flashes forward to him and his wife, Bridget, dancing. I mean, she still has some hardcore feelings for him.
I'm like, yes, but I think she still does have feelings, or she's just reminiscing, you know? Because it could be that
I'm not gonna say that Kim's the type. I don't think she's the type of woman who's gonna go after a married man. I don't think that. I'm not saying that, but I think she does care a whole lot for Matt. She still cares very deeply for him. And she kind of feels like he may be the one that got away. I do, you know,
even though they broke up at 11, like, I'm just
saying. Yeah, right.
And you find your soulmates at any age, I guess.
I love she and Frank though. I'm like, yes, I loved that. I was here for that. I was like,
I think another reason why they got together is they were both like their emotional supporter for each other. You know what I mean? It was a rough time. They, you know, Matt left, they didn't have anybody. Richie's disappeared. You know, Sam's in jail for the crime. So it's like, who do we have?
So the town's small. It's like, there's not that many other people.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, who are you gonna lean on? There's
not Frank.
Frank.
So as you all know, I have an issue with like weak men. Sorry.
I agree.
Show up to the party. And Frank does not show up to the party. And
yeah, so that's true.
Perfectly into Battle of the Sexes.
Yeah.
And how in this series, once again written by women, so thank you,
heck yeah,
coming up for us. But it's the women who are like calling the shots and getting things done.
Yep.
And standing in support of people who really don't even deserve their support. Like Tripp and Frank. Tripp.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the dance.
Okay.
Hildy sees Izzy and Ethan leave out of the gym. Mm-hmm. And we see that Hildy has followed them into this room. They're in there. Mm-hmm. Some kids are smoking and drinking. And Mean Jessica starts
on
Hildy, right? And like a good sister, and the good sister that we know Izzy to be, she stands up for Hildy. Mm-hmm. And what's Ethan doing?
Nothing. He's a little weenie in the corner. And even after that, when she, the whole scene where he's like, oh, you have to make sure, after they find out that Hildy's missing, he's like, mm-hmm. you have to make sure she isn't right about me. And she's like, are you kidding me?
Kicked off the team.
Like, her face is just like, really? He's like, are you mad? And I'm like, I hate you. I hate all men. Go, Izzy. Well, hold on.
In his defense, they do say boys mature later in life. No, no, no. So,
no, I'm like, you know.
But Frank's not mature yet. He's just not there yet. I mean, you know, he's got daddy issues.
They need to grow up. Some time. Grow up.
They do. But you know what? Izzy's a strong character, though. And like we said before, Izzy can take care of herself. And she's proved it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. So but she really doesn't need Ethan.
Chantel, I just have to jump in right there because, yes, these are strong women who take care of themselves over and over and over. But we also – so that's the stereotype of, or the exception or the expected rule is that women always have to be the one that takes care of someone and something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see these women who are strong and they're showing up and they're taking care of business, but they need support too.
They need, right.
Yeah. Break and no, of course.
Cry, and we've seen Hildy cry. Now we've seen Bridget get emotional. Mm-hmm. And so like, yes, Izzy is able to take care of herself, but if she is dating Ethan, then I need Ethan to be able to like stand
to
up.
To show up.
Right.
Well, then she needs to not date Ethan and find herself a stronger boy because Ethan is a little weakling.
Or he just needs to pull up his pants and like, come on, boy. If you, he knows she's a strong girl. That's the thing. It's like, he knows she's strong. So he needs to come and like bring himself to the table a little bit more.
Maybe he's intimidated.
Even when he showed up to ask her to the dance, when Bridget was like, wait, yeah. Is that the same boy that left you in the woods?
Yes. Yes. Like mama knows, like, honey, maybe you don't want to give him a second chance.
Right.
Almost left you for dead.
For real.
So I'm done with Ethan after this. Like,
I kind of agree. Also, his hair is so lame. I'm like,
are we dissing a little
hair?
Is he 13 year old boy?
He's not standing up for our sisters here.
No, he's not. But that really, I feel like that relationship's gonna kind of come and go. It's gonna dwindle in and out throughout this season. Until there is a moment where it's like, okay, Ethan, you need to step up. And if you don't, like, Izzy's done with you, or you do, and then Izzy's like, my man came around.
I almost felt like that kind of was it when a little bit when he was like, are you mad at me? And she just like looks at him like seriously and then walks away.
Like, you watch me get into a fight. My sister's missing. And all you care to ask me is to keep her from telling that you may have been smoking. And am I mad at you?
Right. I think he might come around again and apologize. And wow. I don't know. Maybe third time's a charm. Maybe I'm giving Ethan a little chance. I know. We're like, oh, weak boy, but it's like he's still a kid. He's got a whole lot of growing up to do. He might get a third chance to redeem himself. We don't know. We don't know yet.
Okay, we will leave Ethan alone.
Right,
and move on to Frank.
That's who we need to get on, Frank.
Yes, Frank.
He keeps doing this, like. He rises to the occasion, and then he falls back down, and then he comes back. What is going on?
I'm like, I don't even know where to start with him. You know, with the whole search scene in that episode, and he tells Matt, like, hey, we got our team together. Like, don't worry about it. Don't call any more reinforcement. Like, and Matt's like, look, this is not even about my daughter. I know you. You're just trying to save your butt, you know, and your job, your career. It's like, Frank, man, what is wrong with you? Why are you so selfish? Like, I just can't. I can't with him because he can't make up his mind. He can't step up and be responsible for his actions. You know, as soon as poop hits the fan, okay, this man's like hiding in a corner. And he's not responsible for anything. He can't fix anything on his own. I mean, look, who does he run to right away when this happens? He calls Trip. I mean, woman's supposed to go on a date. She's got a man's waiting for her. You know, she's got her hair done. She's dressed nice. She even gets complimented sort of on her shoes.
Yeah.
And right. then ring, ring, here comes Frank. And he's like, oh my God, Hildy's missing. Like, I need your help. And Sam ran away. I can't with yeah. him. I can't. I just want to like knock him over the head and be like, you're so silly, grow up. And I think maybe his dad has a point. He should not have been a cop. I'm sorry. I hate to say that I'm agreeing with Sheriff on this one, but I'm like, maybe you should have done something. Maybe you should have been a teacher. I don't know, something else. Just don't be a cop because you're not responsible at all. He's not.
I love when Tripp kind of alludes to the fact in the car that she doesn't respect him, but she was there anyways. And yep. I'm like, yes, girl. Yes, yep. girl. It doesn't bother me as much when he doesn't call the search party, because I still think that like that wasn't super selfish, like, because that was kind of the side Bridget was on for a minute. So that part didn't bother me as much. What bothered me is that he's trying to like be the man to take this on, that he's like, wait, but Tripp, I need your help. Oh my God, I don't know. He doesn't know who else to call.
And that's and what so, I'm saying.
And she shows up no yeah. matter what. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I like Bridget in the sense that she was like, let's not get everybody involved, mm-hmm. you know, let's mm-hmm. try to keep this contained. We mm-hmm. can figure it out. We can get this done. Because the town's not very big and
right.
Sam's in shackles. You can't get very far.
Right.
But I do agree with you on that. You know, like just own up and just do what you got to do, dude.
And even the fact that Tripp was willing to go. I mean, prior right? to this episode, we'd never really seen Tripp and Frank interact. There's no mm-hmm. like mm-mm. personal relationship, no friendship, mm-mm. no anything. But she showed up for him. And I, the whole time mm-hmm. I was like, why? Other than the fact that it was the right thing to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it was even before the whole Hildy thing. It was just when it was Sam. So like yeah. if it was Hildy, that would have been yeah. maybe a different story, because she and Hildy have a relationship, but it was mm-hmm. just Sam. And yeah. And she showed up for him. And when she knew that she could have gotten in trouble for it too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she would have easily lost her job for doing, you know, mm-hmm. for going out and helping them. But she was like, no.
And I think it's interesting that Hildy put Sam over her own. Well, Hildy never thought she was in danger, so it's never an issue no. like safety.
And yeah, no.
But right. she did let her parents worry, you know?
Yeah. Like
she put Sam getting the answers, trying to help Sam, trying to talk Sam like into turning himself in. She put all of mm-hmm. that over herself and like her family.
Oh yeah.
Which kind of shocked yeah. me a little bit.
It made me a little like
I mean
a little bit.
I think it's just, you know, it's a reminder that we have to know, like, she's still a kid. You know what I mean? So yeah. like that mentality, that's not gonna be the first thing that she's thinking about. Right now, her focus is this investigation. Her focus is trying to find out what happened, the truth and everything. So the last thing on her mind is to let her mom and dad know that she's safe, mm-hmm. you know? And she knows that she only has so much time to ask Sam questions, because at some point, Sam's going to get caught, or he's going to run away and disappear, or something's mm-hmm. going to happen to Sam, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the least of her worries. I hate to say that, but she's a kid. We have to remember, in the end, she's a kid. It's the least of her worries to, you know, the mom and dad know where
that's
she's at.
That's an interesting position, and I agree with a lot of what you said, but I actually don't feel like the fact that she's a kid factor into that at all. Like, I just think that's Hildy's personality, and she's yeah. always going to put the story and the truth and what's mm-hmm. right, like, above everything else. And so I feel like that was right, like what led her to do that. But we've bashed on Frank a lot, so I want to redeem Frank for just a minute. At the airport, uh-huh, I guess yeah. is what it is. When he steps in front of his dad and all of the other officers who have their guns loaded and ready.
Good scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
Backed again by Tripp, who takes it a step further yes. by like running onto the field and talking Sam off of the plane.
Because mm-hmm. you know she's the only one who could. And yeah. she knew that, you know, and yeah, you're watching yeah. that like, yes, you're the only one that could get him down. He wouldn't have come down. They probably would have shot him, you know, if no one had done that. So Frank taking that initial jump, I was like, ooh, yes, let's just jab it into your dad a little bit more. I love this.
Yeah.
But then Tripp was the one to actually save the day. I think, I mean, they couldn't have done it without one another, but Tripp was the one to get it done. I'm like, yes, ladies.
Well, and that's like with Frank too, when his dad told him like, you're suspended, go home. Like, that's it. He didn't listen to him.
Didn't.
And that mm-hmm. was like the turning point for Frank. I was like, okay, Frank, you're going to step up. You know, you're going to be responsible for your actions. You screwed up. guy got, you know, guy ran away, you need to fix it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not going to go home and let everybody finish your job. You're going to finish it yourself. And that's what he did. He did. He continued to search. He, you know, got to the airport. He stood in front of his father and the other cops and was like, this is like, put your guns down. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. We're like, done.
I'm protecting. Yeah. I'm protecting Sam. We're mm-hmm. done.
Did y'all think that Sam was going to get off the plane, or did you think he was going to let them shoot him?
I thought they were going to shoot him.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I thought Sam was going to fly the plane.
When he first got on, I thought that.
When he, like, initially first got on. Because I figured his dad may have, like, took him on a couple of flights, you know, and maybe taught him a thing or two on how to fly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, that like, I'm going to get teary-eyed right now just, like, talking about it, because that was such an emotional scene for me when he was talking about his, I'm literally going to cry.
Yeah.
When he was talking about his dad and you know, the memories that he had with his dad, and he was like, I don't think the accident was, on purpose. You know, I don't think he did it on purpose. I think that the company covered it up. And then for that to be the one place that he ended up, like, that's where he was going. Everybody
was perfect.
Here or there, but he went to the airport because that was his last memory. That's all he had left of his dad.
And he wanted to see the sunset.
Beautiful. Beautiful mm-hmm. scene. Raw, emotional, like, just tore at my heartstrings seeing that. But I swear I thought he was gonna hop in that plane and fly off into the sunset or the sunrise.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's gonna be it for Sam. We're never gonna see him again. He's gone. But he didn't. I didn't think they were gonna shoot him. But I was kind of like curious, like, okay, what's gonna happen? Like, if he's not gonna leave.
I braced myself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I was like, oh no, oh no.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to get shot for a second.
Yeah, so did I. We can't talk about Battle of the Sexes without talking about Bridget and Matt, because episode mm-hmm. 7 is the first time we see them kind of go at it. Like, Bridget it's the first time we see them argue. And mm-hmm. I think the first time was maybe in the house, and the second time was in the woods. And it was then that she was basically like, I'm tired of this, man up, like, pull yourself together and help me find our daughter.
Yeah, because she's safe. I love that she kept saying, like, Matt was going back in this place, and she's like, she's fine. Let's find her. Like, get up. Let's find her. Like, have more faith in our daughter. Have the faith I know you have, and stop going to this place that I, like, is in the past. Like, I'm empathetic for you. I obviously have done whatever I can and am doing whatever I can to help you get out of that place and help that place, like, us come to a conclusion with that, but, like, you need to be here with me right now, and you need to actually help me the hell out. And I was like, yes, girl.
You can tell that Bridget is the rock in that family. She's like you had mentioned, actually, Kelsey, before, she's the glue that holds them together. Mm-hmm. And you know, since they matched to this town, you know, he's had to deal with a lot, and you see him trying to be strong, but then he breaks down, and she's like, what is wrong with you? Like, you know, your daughter needs you. In a sense, she's kind of pleading with him, like, I need you. I need you to be strong for all of us. And he's having such a difficult time getting there, because there's so much trauma and turmoil with everything that happened the night that Richie disappeared. And it's still eating at him, which I think is so crazy, because it's, you know, 30 something years later.
Someone snatch your best friend. I don't know if you can put a time on it, but it has been a long time. It does seem extremely raw for him. Probably, well, we know that, I think, like, his last story in New York, he covered a missing child as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So combine that with then coming back to this town and having to, like, relive and face again all of these things associated with Richie and his kidnapping and possible murder. But I feel like he's held this against Bridget. Like, he's held the fact that she wasn't a part of it against Bridget. So I really appreciate the fact that Bridget called him out on it and was like, I'm tired of it. Yeah, no, I don't know what it was like, because you never let me in. You never told me what happened. You didn't give me an opportunity to be a part of it. So, like, stop holding it against me.
Right. Yeah. How would I have known? Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. No, I was going to say, agree with that point, actually. You're right. Had she had known from the beginning, you know, she'd have more of an understanding of where he's coming from. Maybe she'd back off a little bit when it, you know, in moments like this, when he does retreat back and he does feel like he's unable to do anything, she'd have a little more understanding. But, you know, that's Matt's fault. He never let her in. Never, not from the very beginning. So.
And I don't even know if she knew about this prior to coming back to Erie Harbor.
No, no, she didn't. She didn't. No, because remember in one of the first episodes, the girl at the ice cream store was like, "You don't know about your husband's past?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "No, what?"
Yeah.
So she's, learned about this all in like the span.
Yeah, exactly. She's learning about it as she goes.
Right. We can end this discussion on good news. I just want to mention the moment with Kim and Bridget at the dance, where Kim thanks Bridget for having her back with the sheriff and Penny's remains. And I just thought that was really, that was probably one of the best moments.
Powerful.
In the episode, right? Mm-hmm. Like one of the lighter, more connected moments. So that was good. But we will end that there. And then Chantel, if you want to share some news with us.
Yeah, I just got a little snippet of news. So Deadline.com mentioned that they are going to have a second season. They've confirmed a second season renewal. The producers are super excited about this because they've gotten a lot of great feedback about the storyline. So I'm super excited. Like I said, I'm ready to like finish this season already, but then I don't want to, because then I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do all this time until the second season comes out? So just a little great news for, you know, for everybody out there. If you guys are watching and you're addicted as much as we are to this show, don't worry. It's coming back. It's got a second season. I know that they did shoot a couple episodes already before the whole coronavirus thing. Yeah, because Sturgis and Prince were talking a little bit about it.
Well, that's
forward. Yeah,
exciting.
So, that is good exciting.
More good news ahead.
For the news. Kelsey, special segment.
Yes, I have an 8-year-old who smashed a crime ring. So Nashville, Tennessee native Landon Crabtree felt the sting of morality corrupt when thieves broke into his family home in 2012 and made off with his PlayStation and his iPad. So insurance covered the losses, but Crabtree was annoyed that the perp had gone unpunished. Oh my God, the 8-year-old loaded up an app called Find My iPhone. Of course, we know Find My iPhone. That's to locate the device of the iTunes and pinpoint its location via GPS. Okay, that would never happen nowadays, but you go, kid. I'm like, heck yeah. Crabtree showed his father exactly where it was, and they shared that information with the police. The burglar was found. Oh my gosh. Burglar was found with the stolen materials, and now he went, and Elliot Neese told the press he plans to be an FBI agent when he
goes. Oh, that's funny.
That's funny. I love that.
How cute. That is so cute.
Let's
burglar, not turn that off.
Let's talk predictions for episode 8. What are we thinking?
I don't even know.
What's gonna happen to Sam now? You know,
I think at the end when Matt told Bridget that this needs to be dropped, you know, it's not gonna be dropped. Like that was just stupid, Matt. When she was like, "Why'd you brush her off like that?" and he was like, "We need to drop it. Come on, do you know your daughter?" So my first prediction is it will not be dropped. Hildy will continue. I think in the next 2 episodes, maybe we'll find the man with the center tattoo. I do think it's the mayor who has the center tattoo, who's his dad. I think that like her point on that was, ooh. So I have a slight, I'm like, maybe that's too obvious, but I was like, eh. So those are my couple predictions.
Okay.
I mean, for me, I feel like this is just more fuel to the fire when it comes to Frank. You know, he's empowered. He's going to go after it. He may be suspended, but he's going to find a way to take over and become sheriff of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how he's going to do it yet, but it's going to happen. There is going to be that, like I said, that whole family dynamic between Matt and Bridget and the kids is going to change, because Matt, I think, is going to be hesitant about continuing this investigation. And we're going to see Bridget kind of take the reins on that and support Hildy. And as far as the man with the center tattoo, I don't know. I just don't know yet. I have a feeling it's someone we haven't met yet.
We haven't met yet. I'm not sure if I think the mayor is walking around with a center tattoo on his arm. That was pretty, like,
you don't know. We don't know.
I do think that Izzy and Ethan are done. I think she's had enough of him. And I think that we may see more turbulence between Matt and Bridget. Like, I feel like there's some more brewing. So I am interested to see what happens in the relationships of...
I am Kelsmeyer 2 on Instagram, Twitter, and my one video TikTok.
I'm Latoya Blakely. You can find me on Instagram at Latoya period Blakely and Twitter at Blakely Latoya. Thank you so much for joining. Until next time, buzz later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.